Hi, I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and you're on The Front Porch. I have with me, as always, Lori Lynn of the Charleston Daily Mail editorial page. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Scott.
And we're going to be talking about Jim Justice, billionaire, candidate for governor, and apparently, according to some reporting from Bill Estep of the Lexington Herald Leader, tax scofflaw. So Bill is with us on the phone right now. Bill, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, what's the top line number? What was the amount that Jim Justice owed that you were able to track down, and to whom?
The top line number, the total is about $3.5 million, just a little bit more than $3.5 million that is owed by coal companies controlled by Jim Justice in six different Kentucky counties. These are obviously in the eastern end of the state, in the coal fields. There's about $200,000 or $300,000 owed in McDowell County, West Virginia, and I understand maybe some in Virginia as well, although I did not document that one. And the top line number in Kentucky is $3.5 million.
Are you aware that after your article came out, Mr. Justice's companies have paid back their tax debt in McDowell County, West Virginia?
I have not heard that. I meant to check on that. I have checked in a couple of Kentucky counties to see what's happened, and so far he had payment agreements in two or three counties in Kentucky. He did not have payment agreements in two counties where he had the biggest share of the bills, about $2 million and change total. But I understand he may be trying to make arrangements to put payment plans in place there as well.
Yeah, it looks like since your reporting, he has paid back his debt in McDowell County here in West Virginia. Bill, do you have any sense how much in control is Justice of these companies? I mean, is he the person who is making the decisions? Do you even know?
Well, I know when I called I called Southern Coal for comment. That's the parent company in Roanoke of Kentucky Fuel and Sequoia Energy and a number of the other companies that had bills in Kentucky, at least. The call was returned by Jay Justice, who's executive VP of his father's company. So I would think that the family has a pretty good idea of what's being reported about the company and what the company's business situation is. I would assume that extends to knowledge about their taxes. Because when I talked to Jay, I mean, he acknowledged, yes, we know there are some large outstanding bills out there. So I think there was a level of knowledge of that.
And you had talked about in your piece some of the effect of these debts on some of these counties. There are small counties with small budgets. You know, what is the significance of these bills?
The local property taxes are a big chunk of funding for a lot of different services. The school systems are the biggest beneficiaries, and these are all counties, obviously, where the downturn in the coal industry has really hurt. A lot of folks have lost their jobs. Population is declining, so school systems are losing students, and as a result, they're losing funding because their state funding is based in part on their student enrollment. So they're already in a difficult situation, and then on top of that, you have property taxes not being paid.
We're speaking with Bill Estep. He is a reporter with the Lexington Herald Leader, who came up with a story this weekend about billionaire and gubernatorial candidate Jim Justice not paying some of his debts in Kentucky and, incidentally, in McDowell County, West Virginia, although he apparently has since then paid his McDowell County debts. Bill, one of the defenses that Mr. Justice's company has made about this is that, look, you know, yeah, he might have money in other companies, but these companies can't pay their bills or are having trouble paying their bills, just like a lot of coal companies, and at least they haven't gone bankrupt.
The people in Kentucky just want the taxes to be paid. I mean, they understand it's a difficult time in the coal industry. All these counties are coal counties, obviously. They know there's been significant layoffs. I mean, in eastern Kentucky, a little bit more than half of the coal jobs have disappeared since 2011. So none of these counties are hostile to the coal industry, but they want the taxes to be paid, and they don't really care if the money comes from an account at Kentucky Fuel or Southern Coal or the Greenbrier. They just say these are debts that Jim Justice's companies owe, and they want them to be paid.
Bill, how did you end up doing this story? Because I imagine it took a lot of time and effort to call around to all these different counties and gather this information.
It did. This is actually a follow-up story to one we did earlier. In 1990, the state of Kentucky passed a very comprehensive education reform bill. And part of the reform bill was to improve the way that taxes are assessed and collected at the local level in counties, Bill. So what we did last year, we went back 25 years after the passage of that bill to see were tax collections, were tax assessments really better. And they were, but in the process of reporting that, we also found that there's still fairly significant delinquencies in some places. And at that time, I wrote about the delinquencies that Kentucky Fuel had, Jim Justice's company, and I knew at the time the response was, we're going to pay those taxes, we're going to put these payment plans in place. So I went back to see if, in fact, that happened.
Are Jim Justice's companies any worse? Are they the worst offenders when it comes to not paying the taxes compared to other coal companies in Kentucky?
I saw some other companies with pretty large outstanding bills, but the ones I saw from Justice were among the largest of any that I saw, and that's the only way I can characterize that. They're certainly not the only one, and not the only companies with large outstanding bills, but these were among the largest that I saw.
Bill, I have an idea for the people of Kentucky to get Jim Justice's companies to pay their tax debts. I would suggest that he run for governor in Kentucky. and that seems to do the trick.
I mean, I would have thought this is something. I mean, I've covered politics in Kentucky for off and on for 30 years, and I would have thought these kinds of issues are ones you would want to clear up before you start a run for governor.
Exactly,
If your coal company can't pay it, then, you know, raid the piggy bank at the Greenbrier or whatever. But they're all companies owned by this gentleman, and some of the people in Kentucky have been a little bit miffed by that, that there are resources elsewhere. I understand the business philosophy, the corporate philosophy, that you want each company to stand on its own, make its way, sink or swim on its own. But in the real world, these counties want their money.
Bill Estep is a reporter with the Lexington Herald Leader. Check out his article, and you'll find a link to that article on our website, which is wvpublic.org. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bill, thanks so much. I know how hard it is to get out of doing other stuff to do these sorts of interviews, so thank you so much.
Oh, that's no problem. I appreciate it. I've got to scoot down to do my other thing.
Thanks, Take care,
Bill.
Sir. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Scott.
So you've been listening to The Front Porch, and I need to say really quickly that West Virginia Public Broadcasting is in the middle of its fall membership campaign. The Front Porch and podcasts like this, they're only possible because people like you have called in and shown their support. So easy to do. Call 1-800-RADIO-87. That's 1-800-RADIO-87. Or go online to wvpublic.org and click that Donate Now button. And if you are a member or a sustaining member of West Virginia Public Broadcasting already, thank you very much. And if you're not, you know, get on there, look at some of our gifts. We have a new Lapis Fiesta Wear mug that you'd want to get for sure. And you could put in the comment line online or when you call somebody at 800-723-4687, put in the comment line that you like The Front Porch.
I mean, my question, and I tweeted this morning, is do West Virginians even care about this? You know, given these headlines and even the headline that you guys did, I mean, it's like, well, if he's good in West Virginia, you know, what goes on in Kentucky is between him and Kentucky.
Matter of fact, I mean, from a Hatfield-McCoy perspective, if we screw over Kentucky,
exactly.
good for us.
Let's keep that money at home. I mean, I don't know. It's just so interesting to me that...
I wonder, and this is pure speculation as well, but I wonder sometimes if West Virginians are just way, way too cynical about situations like this. The assumption is that all companies, you know, try to get out of their obligations. And there's a long history of that in West Virginia and especially in the coal industry. And so maybe people are very forgiving of it in a way. This is like, you know, Jim Justice isn't any worse than anybody else. Even though in this case, according to Bill, his companies do appear to have more debt to the counties than other companies.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, he's to be a billionaire is one thing. To be a coal billionaire is another thing. But to be a coal billionaire who owes $3.5 million in local taxes, as Bill mentioned, you kind of wonder how he could not have anticipated this being an issue before he got into the race.
Well, and it feeds into a narrative about him, and that Justice does not pay his bills on time, and that you have to basically fight him to get your money. And that's not just about taxes; it's about the mine safety violations, it's about business deals that he makes, and people suing him in court to get payment later. And my question back to you is, do people see that as someone who's not trustworthy, or do people see that as a savvy business operator that you'd want to have running your government?
Well, I mean, look, he has a point. It's for him to just simply write a personal check to these companies, while he could do that, it would have – his lawyers would tell him not to. There would be all kinds of tax implications for him and for the companies. So, you know, legally, there's a reason – maybe, and along with the bankruptcy thing. But just as a matter of optics, I mean, you're running for governor and you are worth, I mean, what is it, $1.6 billion? I mean, he could literally write a check, you know, to these localities tomorrow. It just looks, it looks really bad.
It's been interesting, Lori, that a lot of the reporting about Jim Justice's debts is not coming from West Virginia. It's coming from, like we said, NPR. It's coming from Kentucky. Do you think that the West Virginia media are pulling their punches on Jim Justice?
No, that's a good question. You know, I don't necessarily know why they would be pulling. I mean, you know, unless it's that he's running as a Democrat.
He's powerful.
He's powerful, but so is Don Blankenship. And
Greenbrier spends a lot of money in advertising.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And there's a lot of goodwill toward him, obviously, because of what he did with the Greenbrier, taking it over, saving it. But again, the Greenbrier thing is weird, too, because this is this fancy, posh resort that most West Virginians have never even been to. And he's very much associated with that, which is, you know, a symbol of wealth and privilege.
I think people take pride in that, though. I think it's kind of like, look what we, you know, you think we're just a bunch of broken down coal miners, but look at what we have. Look
and
at
it does provide
thing.
A ton of jobs. He has this ad out, which you can watch online, that focuses on people at the Greenbrier saying, you know, he saved our jobs. He brought us back. And at the end, he says, you know, I did it for the Greenbrier. I can do it for West Virginia. So that's clearly his pitch.
And so, you know, on the Democratic side in West Virginia, you have Jim Justice announced, backed by apparently Senator Manchin. You have the more liberal wing represented by Senator Jeff Kessler, the former Senate president. And then you have floating out here on the sidelines, you have Booth Goodwin, who is the U.S. attorney, in the middle of probably the biggest case of a generation, trying Don Blankenship, not announcing yet, but allowing rumors to persist that he may announce in the race for governor. That's what's happening on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, it seems like you have consolidation around Bill Cole. What does this mean for the race next year for governor?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. Goodwin, as the United States attorney, cannot legally mount a campaign. He's, you know, very much forbidden from doing that while he holds his current position. And the trial was originally scheduled to start, I believe, in July, in which case it would have been over by now. It got pushed back to October. So assuming he was planning to announce after the trial, that put him in kind of a sticky spot. Assuming the trial's over in like late November, early December, he still has enough time to squeak in under the wire. I think the filing deadline is January. So he certainly could do it, and what a great way to announce the guy who convicted Don Blankenship.
So Goodwin's office also is part of this big announcement that President Obama is coming to West Virginia. This is something that does not happen very often. He's coming to talk about prescription drug overdose problems and opioid addiction in general, the heroin epidemic that West Virginia Public Broadcasting has reported so much about. Why do you think Obama is coming to West Virginia?
I would think it's more the issue. I think Hillary Clinton has said that one of the things that surprised her on the trail was person after person bringing up the issue of drug addiction. You know, somebody I know has been affected by this. What are we going to do as a state and as a nation? So maybe this is a recognition that, hey, this is something bubbling up out there, and, you know, the president, the Democratic Party, needs to address it. In which case, you know, good for him.
And maybe it's one of those issues that there can be some bipartisan work around.
Yeah.
A lot of families touched by addiction. And West Virginia, by far, has the highest rate of overdose death in the entire nation. And so he is coming to ground zero, and it'll be interesting to see what comes of his visit next week. West Virginia Public Broadcasting is hoping to bring you live coverage of that event, so stay tuned for that. You've been listening to The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, joined by Lori Lynn of the Charleston Daily Mail editorial page. Rick Wilson will be back with us next week. Thanks for listening.